Morning, everyone. The Bible reading today is taken from the book of Romans, chapter 12, verses 1 to 8. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts, according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. This is the word of the Lord.
This year, as Bruce said, we've been looking through a series of topical sermons on and off that look to help us form the disciples' heart. Because we don't want to be disciples who just look good on the outside, but on the inside have a heart that's legalistic or judgmental and bitter, like a Pharisee. Rather, we want to have hearts that are soft and humble and that are overflowing with love for God and love for others. Now, it must be said that it is God who does the work of changing our hearts. And so the place that we always must begin with this sort of work is in prayer on our knees. We end that process in prayer on our knees, and all the way through we stay on our knees. But we also must turn to God's word, because God's word transforms our hearts by the renewing of our mind and the refreshing of our spirit. And so today we're going to look at how the word of God can help us, and to the topic today is the heart of service, help us form a heart of service to God, with in particular in relation to his church, which is the bride of Christ. And so I've got four subtopics today for the note takers, if you like taking notes. Thanks for the first one, Maddie. Thanks. Made to serve, the goal of service, the emotions of a heart of service, and the practice of service. So I'm just going to go through those four ideas. The first one, or let's pray before we start. Father God, we do commit this time to you. We do pray that you will be working in our hearts and shaping our hearts, sanctifying and purifying our hearts, and producing hearts that are like Jesus. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So first of all, we're made to serve. It is important to know that we are made to serve. We've been created by God to be servants. How do I know it? Well, in Genesis we read we've been created in God's image. And Jesus, who is fully God in human flesh, showed us that he has the heart of a servant. In fact, he says this really about himself. Matt, if you might move the next one for me, please. This isn't working. Thanks. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. And in John's Gospel, in chapter 13, Jesus demonstrated to his disciples that he is a servant in heart and in action. And we all know the story really well. When Jesus washed the feet of his disciples, he said to them, next slide, do you understand what I have done for you? He asked them. You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I've set you an example that you should do as I've done for you. Very truly, I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you'll be blessed if you do them. And so if Jesus is a servant, then this is an attribute of God that we should long to see and nurture within ourselves, shouldn't we? And you know what? When we live in accordance with how we were created to be, we will find our greatest fulfillment, joy and satisfaction. To be a servant is to live fully and to be in tune with our God-created nature. In modern day lingo, if you want to find yourself, then part of that search will require you to find your inner servant self. In contrast to that, the people of the world, they strive to get themselves into a position where they are served, don't they? Where someone cooks for them, cleans for them, does their gardening, does their finances, makes their bed, changes their towels and so on. That is the dream of the world, isn't it? But that kind of heart is not the kind of heart a disciple of Jesus is going to want to nurture within themselves. This cannot be the Christian's vision of the good life. Well, the second point I want to make today is that a service isn't just random. It is goal-focused and direction-shaped. The shape or goal of our service is spelt out really well, I think, in Ephesians chapter 4. Oh, thanks, Maddie. Oh, that's back working too. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and the teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Our goal in service together is to work towards the building up of the body of Christ, to build the church into maturity so that we might attain the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. In other words, that we might be like him as a community, full of his knowledge, unified, holy, wise, loving, and so on. That is what we work towards. And so as we serve God and one another, we can't lose sight of this goal of our service. You know, the Sydney Opera House, it's an amazing construction, isn't it? It took, I think, 14 years to build. It would have involved all kinds of tradesmen and interior decorators and draftspeople and engineers and so on. But I reckon that those people who are working on that would have known that they were part of something special. On hard days at work, as they were doing the mundane labour, the painting or whatever they were doing, I reckon they reminded themselves of the great vision of the project that they were working on. Not long ago, there was an amazing stage production called Hamilton released on Broadway. You may have seen it. It was an epic show of great brilliance. Everyone involved in it would have been working feverishly to accomplish the vision of the director, whether it was backstage or costume design or choreography, sound, center stage. They would have pushed themselves to produce the best production they could because they wanted to be part of this grand vision. Those are the sort of things they would have told their kids they were involved in. I helped sew dresses or costumes for Hamilton. Well, those things are nothing compared to what the disciples of Jesus are working on, what we're working towards. Revelation 21, I think, captures the grand vision that we're all working towards. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the older order of things has passed away. And so when we support the church gathering, the church body, we are contributing to this great and glorious vision of the future. We are working on this. We're helping God's people grow in faith and maturity in Christ so they may be presented as a bride, beautifully dressed for a husband. You know, all of that teaching at Kids Church, the greetings and the morning tea teams who facilitate the community and the relationships that help bind us together in love, the weekly giving of our offerings and tithes to God's work, which pays salaries and ministry and mission costs, the projector person who helps us read scripture on the screen and the words of faith that we sing. All of these things and more facilitate the gathering of God's people where we can grow in the knowledge of God through the teaching of the Word of God in music, in prayer, in reading, and in preaching. And dwelling on the purpose of why we serve helps the motivation of our hearts. Well, the third point for today looks at the emotions of a heart of service. I'll give you three emotions I think the heart of service experiences. The first one is joy. When we realize that through serving, we're becoming and being more like our Lord Jesus, the one in whose image we were made, it gives our heart joy, doesn't it? The hope of having a heart like Jesus, more like Jesus, fills me with joy. It also gives us joy to know we're part of that wonderful work of eternal significance. Although our service, yes, can at times be hard, we're filled with joy because we know why we're doing it. And we see this in Jesus. Though Jesus endured terrible suffering in his service, his heart was strengthened by the joy of knowing why he was doing it. Hebrews 12 says, "And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." As we go about our sometimes mundane and difficult service, thinking about the final outcome of that service should produce in us real joy. Well, love is another emotion that needs to be present in the heart of service. In 1 Peter verse 22, we read, "Now that you've purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for each other, love one another deeply from the heart." You know, it's expected that we will feel a deep love for one another, isn't it? It's actually instructed here. It's something we need to nurture and command in our hearts. If you struggle perhaps to feel love for another Christian, maybe reflect on the fact that they have enormous value because they are God's child whom he loves. To have love in our hearts is so important. 1 Corinthians 13 reads, "If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and knowledge, if I have faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I'm nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing." C.S. Lewis wrote once, for those who are struggling to love their neighbor, he said, "If we act in love in our service to one another, incredibly, our emotions often fall in line with our actions." Is there someone you find hard to love? Well, start to love them in practical and real ways, in ways they'll appreciate, and you may find that your emotions follow. And thirdly, the heart of the servant should feel humble. It should feel meek. Humility isn't just an action, it's a disposition of our hearts. It shapes us, it shapes how we view others. Philippians 2 verse 3 says, "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, rather in humility value others above yourselves." not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant. This passage, I think, shows us that humility is an act of the will, doesn't it? Yes, God is doing it, but we must choose it. I'm to choose to value the person next to me higher than I value myself, to put their interests above my own. We actually have to speak to our proud hearts. We have to correct our selfish thoughts. We examine each thought. We test it for godliness, for humility, for love. And if it fails in any of these categories, we have to resist it and discard it. It reject it. Is that something you do, you know, driving or lying in your bed or sitting in a chair, reflecting on your thoughts and your conversations? Have you got space in your life to reflect on these things, your thoughts every day in prayer? We have to make space for such reflection upon our hearts. And so, as God's servants here, let us together pray and work towards having hearts that are marked by the emotions of joy and love and humility. Finally, let's look at the practice of service, the fourth point. And I'll say three things here. Firstly, practically, our service to God is done in a community of faith, as members of one body. Romans 12, we read it earlier, says, "For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others." When we realize we're members of one body, we realize that as we serve the body, all of us benefit, including ourselves. But we also realize that we must work in cooperation with the other members of the body. Our quality of life is no good if one leg goes one way and the other goes the other. The body suffers if its eyes are absent or lazy and just won't open and do their job. Likewise, if we're not serving with the gifts that God's given us, then the body is being deprived of something. For Romans says, each of us, all of us, have been given gifts to serve with. Romans 12, verse 6, we have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. God has given us different capacities, skills, circumstances, resources, not for our own use. They're not gifts for us, they're gifts for the church, for the well-being of his church, for his beautiful bride. I think that helps us a bit with humility, doesn't it? We're reminded that all that we have is from God. And knowing this helps us release our grip a bit, I think, on our time, our energy and our resources. And thirdly, I think the servant heart should cause us to long to serve to the best of our ability, with skill, with commitment and reliability. It means turning up on time. It means doing what we said we'd do, doing it well, doing it cheerfully, being a pleasure to work with, an encouragement to others, without complaining and arguing. The Bible, it upholds principles of working hard and being skillful and being responsible, being reliable. These are qualities to seek in service. To honor God, to glorify God with this attitude. Because we want our work of service to be effective. We want it to build something permanent. Paul talks in 1 Corinthians 3 about his attitude to work as a builder of the church. And he says he does it wisely and with care. We'll look at his words here. It's a great picture, I think. "By the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as a wise builder. And someone else is building on it, but each one should build with care. For no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. If anyone builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay or straw, their work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and fire will test the quality of each person's work. If what has been built survives, the builder will receive a reward. If it is burned up, the builder will suffer loss, but yet will be saved, even though only as one escaping through the flames. Each of us will want to look back and see the quality of our work, won't we? No, that was worth it. Building with quality means being careful to build upon the work of Christ, guided by the words of Christ. If we don't do that, our work will be burned up as no good. Finally, let me just finish by saying, yesterday I was thrilled by the service demonstrated by this church. So many people brought baked goods and foods for Kent's memorial service yesterday. It would have been 250 people here for that service. After the service, my children rushed downstairs for afternoon tea, and I heard from my other siblings that one of my son's eyes exploded with the thrill of so much incredible food to eat. He was the first one down there. It was just like tables of amazing foods. What great generosity was displayed by this church. So many helped out in the setup, in the sound, in the PowerPoint, in the music. You know, yesterday as I saw the 250 people here, I thought it might be possible I'd be there till 10 o'clock last night cleaning. But such a great team of people just chose to stay and serve and clean up with this generous and joyful spirit. The whole thing took less than an hour. It was all done by people who weren't asked, but just volunteered. Humility and joy and love were emotions that I could see were present. So let me encourage you, let's keep going and let's keep growing together as God's people, that we might be more like Jesus, that we might contribute our whole lives to the wonderful vision of the future that we read about in Revelation 21. And I'll finish by just reading this last passage, which although it's in its context it's speaking about financial giving, the principles apply to our whole life, and it's a wonderful passage. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows generously will reap generously. Each of you should give what you've decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. Let's pray. Father God, we pray that you will help form within us a heart of service, the heart of a disciple who loves to serve. Help us to want to be like Jesus, our Lord and God, who served us, who washed our feet, who walked to the cross and died on a cross, who gave his life for us. Give us that heart, we pray. Lord, help us to remember why we're doing it, what it's producing. The wonderful picture in Revelation in the age to come. Help us to work towards this goal of building a community that is mature in you. Father God, we pray that as we do that, our hearts will also overflow with the emotion of joy, the emotion of love, and the disposition of humility. May they be real and felt. Lord God, help us in practice to cooperate, to work together, to be a well-functioning body. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.